This is the Deliberate Talks weekly podcast, powered by the Pixelated Egg Digital Ventures. Tune in every week to learn something new about digital marketing and entrepreneurship. And now, over to the voice of your host, Dukshin Adyantaya. Enjoy the show.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the brand new episode of the season 3 of the show. And today we have another artist. I actually like how the season is focusing already on featuring so many artists in their stories. It's kind of been a long due, and now it's a great time to talk about it. And today, to illustrate the modern day challenges and opportunities as a comic artist, we have Abhijeet Kini in the studio. Hello, Abhijeet. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well, Dakshin. How are you? I particularly like the wordplay for illustrate. So I
had to play that.
Yes. And, marks and on I'll that. Probably, full marks.
I'll probably be playing a little more with that because you have a very fascinating journey, my friend. So
thank you so much. Thank
amazing,
you.
Amazing. Thank you, firstly, for making time for the show. It's great.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. And I want to have a conversation on all the things that, you know, you and I would love talking about. I mean, so I'm looking forward to it. I hope the viewers will have fun as well.
Absolutely.
The listeners, right?
Right. And for the listeners, Abhijeet is an illustrator, animator, and independent comic publisher. And before I start my talk about all the awesome work, you know, he has done and he does, Abhijeet, how did it start? Did you always want to become an artist, or did it happen to you by chance?
No, I wanted to become an artist. In fact, I remember I still have my childhood doodle, you know, books and sketchbooks and all. And according to what my parents keep telling me, my mom keeps saying that, you know, right from maybe the time I held a pencil in my hand, I've just been doodling, you know, fun characters. And I have been exposed to comics from a very, very young age. So I was very fascinated by the medium. It would be an ambition of mine to become a comic artist someday. I didn't know how. I didn't know if that's possible. Mm-hmm. That was my ambition. And of course, along the way, I began collecting more and more comics. I doodled more and more. I created characters of my own, maybe on comics I had already read. But I think that spark was ignited way back when I started picking up comics as a medium that I enjoy, you know. Mm-hmm. And I always wanted to. And fortunately for me, it all turned out that. That's
right. From the time that we have been, you know, you're talking about generations, right? The generation that we belong, of course, I'm making it sound too old, but the generation that we was never up for art as a career.
Never, option, never, right? Never, so never, never.
How did you tackle with that, buddy?
that's a good question. In fact, I kind of look back at a few conversations I used to have, you know, back in the day when I started out. Uh-huh. It still happens, mind you. It's not like it's changed completely. Right. But predominantly, I'm a self-taught artist. So first things first, that was like for many people. He's not done any formal art training. So doesn't have a brand degree, like, you know, an institute ka degree with him or something. He's self-taught. So that was a big thing. But fortunately, whatever portfolio I had worked in my favor, and I did land, you know, interesting freelance gigs. However, taking this as a full-time thing, people never took me seriously when I used to say that, "Arey, yaar, I want to do this full time, do this like my main job." And they used to be like, "Nahi, it's too risky. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's money in it? Do you think there's do you think there's stability?" And frankly, back then, I think the passion for the entire art form, you know, drove me towards actually getting to what I wanted to do.
Right.
So after that is when people, in fact, my own relatives, apart from my parents who were super supportive, many of my relatives are also very unsure. But it's only afterwards that they saw my work getting published. They saw the response, you know, we get.
Right.
Only then they started saying, so this is a possibility. So, you know, it kind of like was something that even people got to see and learn as I went through the motions.
Uh-huh.
But that's, even now at Comic Cons, we participate, we have our table, we have our stall. People do come and, "Oh, this is nice, this is interesting, but what do you do?"
Right.
And they tell them, "No, this is what I do." "No, that's fine. Even my 8-year-old draws. What do you do?"
Wow.
So that's
interesting.
These questions you still getting, but I do know that the scene has changed drastically from when we were in school and college to now. Right. So that's good.
That's good. I'm going to get to that comic cons part very soon.
Yeah.
But I would love to understand the very first sketch that you made or the comic that you made which got published. How was that like and what was that?
Oh, that was special. In fact, it happened, like what happened was I was in Mangalore on a, you know, family holiday, like at my grandparents' place.
Mm-hmm.
And a neighbor of theirs was an, you know, retired bank senior manager. I don't remember his post.
Okay.
But he wanted to come up with a book. He was writing a book, a tongue-in-cheek look at bank managers and stuff like that. Kind of like a read on the banking system and all.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted, and word got to him that, oh, here's this boy who's this 18, 19-year-old you know, kid who's come. He is an illustrator. And by then, I used to draw for my magazine and all that. So, mm-hmm. you know, I could show people that, okay, magazine mein ye chhapa hai college, but this was something outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
He saw my work. He said, oh, wow, but I can't pay you much. But back then, you know, you're a youngster who wants to get stuff published. You're like, yeah, that's okay. Whatever peanuts you're paying is okay as long as I get it published.
Right.
That happened. And at the same time, there was a magazine called Jam.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you remember, just another magazine. So, yeah. So I sent a cartoon just like that to them and it got published and I was so happy to see it in print and I got a check. I remember a check for 50 rupees. I was so happy. This was, I think, 1999.
Uh-huh.
I think I was in 11th or 12th that time, if I remember correctly. So that those two were my first ever published. In fact, the Jam magazine came in my hand first, and mm-hmm. the manager's book was published a little later, although I'd worked on it earlier.
Right.
So these two were my first ever published works. Mm-hmm. Eventually, I got into I started drawing for Tinkle Comics in 2004, right. Which was my first ever comic comic format publishing.
Right.
So it was unbelievable. Yes, the works printed in a magazine and a newspaper and Tinkle.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
So you know, very special.
You mentioned 2003, 2004. In the early 2000s also, there came a film called Hum Tum, right?
Oh, yes.
Did you, I mean, as cliche as it sounds, did Bollywood contribute to any part of helping your career grow in because of the movie?
No. In fact, I must say, came a little later. By then I was already freelancing and I used to tell people, there is a character that I get represented by.
Yeah.
otherwise Bollywood heroes are all these he's an Inspector Vijay or or some sort of a Gunda Mawali with a good heart, but cartoonist, I said, "Achha, thank you."
Right.
Here's a little something I can call ki chalo, we have been represented a little bit.
Right. Because I remember the conversations back then where, you know, a few kids from school, and I was in college back then, and you know, the conversation that I would have with them, and they're like, oh, now because it's become a film, you know, I can become a comic artist. I can tell my parents
that
I can
become
a comic artist. So.
Thankfully, that didn't happen to me because I don't know how conversation would have gone. Mom, I just want to be exactly like that movie shown things to be. So, but I was happy that they were looking at that career option, that path as a character in a movie.
Right.
I thought that was acknowledged enough for people like me.
Right. Awesome. Great. And tell me a bit more about your inspiration behind your three comics. I mean, the ones which are more popular, like The Angry Boshi, the Rhyme Fighters, and The Fanboys. My goodness, where did you firstly come up with this name? And what's the story behind these? And what's the inspiration behind these?
See, with Angry Maushi and Rhyme Fighters, it's pretty much the, you know, I am from. So it's Mumbai and Mumbaikars. Mm-hmm. We always find characters, so many characters around us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all sorts of stories around us, all sorts of different faces around us. So for artists, when you have to look around for inspiration, you literally just have to look around in a city like Mumbai. Mm-hmm. Everywhere you go, I think there's a story.
Right.
And with Angry Maushi, she's a Mumbai, average Mumbaikar who probably is just like you and I. It comes to we are so angry about a lot of things, infrastructure ka kuch problem hoga, political ye sab hoga, and we'll always find some kuch nahi to local train ka rush. There's always something that we'll be annoyed with. Mm-hmm. She's that person. And what I did was I put into a situation where she fights cyborgs, she fights robots, she fights corrupt politicians, the likes, and there's even the devil himself. So it's kind of like a very meta, over the top, a socio-political satire. And I love that space. I love satires because I've grown up reading Mad, which is one of my favorite magazines. Have you read Mad? Have you ever got to read Mad?
No, not really.
Mad is a fantastic magazine. Mm-hmm. If you ever get a chance, look up their older issues and just spoof things. Wow. So which is where I think Angry Mavshi came. Crime Fighters is about everyday people. Yeah, I mean, we see traffic cops, we see people like the wannabe heroes, the Lokhandwala studs, whatever you want to call them. But without them, life is so, vanilla. There's nothing. Yeah. These characters make you enjoy the city like, no one else can.
Right.
So it's my little ode to them. And it's like written in rhyme format and drawn in a comic format.
Very cool. So you're a writer as well?
Yeah, all these comics I have written and drawn by myself. So yes.
Wow.
Fanboys is a take on pop culture and the nerd culture and comic cons overall. Mm. So it's about three comic fans. So very, very close to my heart because I think I'm one of them.
Wow. I'm going to now come into that comic cons part because we've already mentioned it twice.
Yeah, yeah.
There are two parts to this. One is, people who come to comic cons mostly land up there because of FOMO or because of their friends.
Yeah.
Right. They don't understand comics. They're not collectors.
Correct.
Right. It's normally an Instagram photo that they want to Absolutely. Or a Facebook check in. Right. But for an audience Absolutely. Like that, what's your pitch like when they come to you and see you there? Like the father that you mentioned, right? How do you really talk about
your
comic? How do you sell it to them firstly?
So my pitch to them first is getting them convinced, yes, it's possible, not just your 8-year-old. Anyone can do this as a profession as long as they have the passion for it.
Right.
But apart from that, yes, we do. They'll come with a question mark. So after all these years of being at conference, we come to know this is a type of person who has to be, made to understand kya chal raha hai. They'll have that confused look and we we take them into confidence. We say, "Arey, see, this is and we are Indian artists. So Indian art and Indian characters jab bolenge, and then they'll say, DC Marvel has these, but why not India? This is such a question. That's such a clear question that keeps coming up.
I'm sure.
So we say, nahi, of course we have characters. Look around. This is Comic Con. There are so many comic publishers. Have you seen this? Have you? To unko aur FOMO ho jata hai.
Right.
And that excess FOMO gets them to like, oh shit, I'm at the best place possible. But turns out, actually do discover so many things in there.
Yeah.
So when they see the merchant make, we say that, okay, you don't need to follow the art scene since you are new to this.
Right.
Always buy these as collectibles and giftables.
Mm-hmm.
That they get convinced, there's something for me as well. I don't need to be a DC fan level fanatic. I can just be here and buy art, which is a special thing if people do. But if they're only there for an Instagram post, that's a breed apart.
but from a purchase.
Yeah.
Perfect. Are they really, like when they come in, like you mentioned, there's a DC and Marvel counter there as well. There are fantastic merchandise, say by WWE and other counters.
Correct.
Well, right? Correct. Do you think they're ready to pay for Indian artists and their work in comparison to the ones that they're already known or,
correct.
They're aware of? Do their pockets actually speak more than their minds?
Good question, because we have seen this happen. But where, they'd rather pump in their money and buy stuff like a Superman or Deadpool action figure or something and then see if they get. But there's a dedicated section of the crowd which comes there, which are literally like the Indian fanboys, if I may call it that. They follow the Indian circuit.
Right.
And I have people who come in who have collected not just my published comics, but they've also collected my Tinkles, my Dim Dimmers, all magazines I've drawn for. They come there with the entire stack to get them signed.
Nice.
It's so special to me that this person is willing to spend Indian art rather than go there. But that's a smaller chunk.
Right.
The chunk is more to do with known IPs. Mm-hmm. And a smaller chunk, comparatively smaller chunk, might just come in for the Indian artist. That ratio is also changing.
Right.
So thanks to all the initiatives that happen at Comic Con where they promote Indian artists. We have the Indian artist ka dedicated area there, you know, where people can come and check out our artworks, you know. Because of all that, we do see a rising number of people who come in specifically looking for Indian art and Indian comics.
Right.
So yes, there is a difference. There is a huge difference in the percentage, but that difference is gradually, you know, kind of catching.
Right. And just from a more personal question kind of thing, is it a fruitful association being at Comic Cons from a sales as well as an investment point of view for artists? Do you think every artist should be there if given a chance?
See, now here is a question that every artist should first introspect, because yes, you will be investing a huge chunk of money. Right. A stall there is not cheap. And of course, having your inventory, knowing how much to carry with you, how much to keep at the stall, so many things there.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that every artist should at least once try having a stall there, because the experience is fantastic. Not just sales-wise, okay, you have an inventory of X, Y things, you sell them. Your networking increases.
Mm.
And I think these times an artist should be very, very well networked, should market himself or herself very well.
Mm-hmm.
Because marketing now is, I mean, I don't think it's only to do with specific industries, it's everywhere. If you are on your own, you need to market yourself very well. Comic Con gives you a great chance as an artist to reach out. So the kind of projects you might end up getting later on, there might also be a visiting card that will come your way, which might change your, you know, your change life, change your the way you look at things. You never know. There's so many people you meet there. So I feel that every artist at least once try this out and you know, and try out experience at a stall at Comic Con.
Right.
So it's a question I think they need to ask themselves first. Are they ready to take the plunge and spend so much?
Mm-hmm.
But if they do, I'm very sure that it's going to be very rewarding as well.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. For all those listeners who don't know, Abhijit has been a winner of Best Illustrator Awards, Bronze in 2018 and 2019 at Comic Con's Indian Awards. So yes. Abhijit, what is being prepared for winning the award for 2021 or 2022?
Oh boy. But unfortunately, what has happened is the 2 years that have gone, the hardest phase that we are living in, I have not released any original content which I've drawn fresh in that calendar year. So, you know, sending something for an award is difficult because there's no content except for reprints. I don't have any new content. However, I can always try for 2022, which is I have a few things on will. And if that works, there's one very, very long pending sequel. To Fanboys, part two of Fanboys, in which, you know, stuff happens. And of course, I've got it all written down, never got to draw it because I've always been procrastinating. But if that happens, then yes, I think better stories, better designed pages, I guess, and maybe a little more pages if I can afford to put in that much into print.
Okay.
Then yes, I think these are things I can keep in mind so that I pulled off something at the next awards.
Wow. Okay. Speaking about the affordability part of it, another aspect of, regardless of the style of artist you are, is payments, man.
Oh God.
The rants small and big artists
have
on Twitter and other platforms. Like, for an artist like you, who's established and won awards and all and featured in top columns and newspapers, do you also still come across this issue? And if yes, what kind of situations come into your life as you evolve as an artist with this?
Oh God, that is such a horror story in itself. No matter how I quote unquote established or you know, known you are, how many other awards you've got, this culture of delayed payments or ghosting you when the payment topic comes up, or difficult clients who just don't want to open their purse, going to be there throughout. So listeners, whoever is kind of frustrated right now, don't worry, we are all in this together. I have had people hurting me, like, you know, my early years, they always used to say, no, this will be a great addition to your CV, a great addition to your portfolio. And back then I used to be like, okay, you know, let me do this so I can use it later on.
Right.
But if it still happens now, I'm touching 40 and I've been into this domain for the last 20 years, I just feel like laughing at their faces. I'm like, what are you talking about? And this is not just clients. This is even these influencers, social media agencies. Oh, we'll give you a shout out, but if you can do four pages of content free for us. Your shout out is not going to pay my... it's such a cliched line, but it's true.
Right.
So I've recently had, you know, clients, you ask me for some anecdotes, I'll tell you. I've recently had a few people who had pinged me saying, oh, you know, you've had such an interesting journey and blah, blah. We would love to feature you on our page. We will send you a price list for our questionnaire that we'll run with you, and you pay us and we'll publish it. I'm like, 8 minute, you have reached out to me. You said apparently you like my story, whatever the hell there is in it. And you me, I have to pay you to run my story. Second, they'll be like, oh, but you just have only these many followers.
Uh-huh.
We can't pay you this much. If you had these many followers, I would have paid you this much. So basically now it's not about the art style you do or the awards you won or the number of years you put in. It all depends on the followers you have, which is, I think, the best part of this entire thing. So the more followers, the better payments is the most ridiculous thing I can... I mean, call me old school, but I can't digest this fact.
Right. No, it's not old school. It's obviously, you know, art, unless NFT came into life of people, someone appreciated art for the value that it is, right? And now NFT has created such a wave for artists that they don't want to do projects anymore with people.
Oh, God. And again, people have asked, I've said, hey, but you only have these many followers.
Life in full circle.
Oh, God. Whenever I... I'll always get that same door shut on my face. But followers!
You know, you go back one day to Mangalore and you'll find that same bank manager and he'll say, now I don't want your illustration because you're going to follow us.
Thing is, he's already a little... He hit the bucket a long time ago, poor guy. So at least there's one comment less that I have to listen to.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that, Abhijit. A lot of people need to hear that because I'm sure they're going through a lot of...
No, honestly, man, this has been a very tricky set of people. You know, sometimes you do come across these. Some you feel, oh, wow, you know, last five clients I've worked with have been so nice.
Yeah.
I think life has suddenly changed and suddenly there'll be a sixth guy will go back to that first template and say, no, you know what? I can't pay you right now because you're a startup. Oh, God, that rant, that... whatever you call that excuse is so done.
Yeah.
We can't pay you because we are a startup. We can't pay you because we are so and so. And now because of COVID, you have this excuse. We can't pay you that because COVID.
It's COVID. Eventually, they'll come one day when they'll say, we have less followers, so we can't pay you.
I am waiting for that day so that I can say, acha, ye bhi hota. I recently had a Chips, I won't name the brand, Chips brand, which wanted a particular set of cartoons done. And they said,
are they the famous Chips brand that we all know?
Yeah.
That's it. You don't need to tell the name then.
Yeah. No, I'm sure you've come across their work, but they had said that if you have these many followers, we pay you like this much. And I'm like, seriously? I mean, you're going to do the full-fledged thing, which everyone has done, but apparently the blue ticks, the more followers wala people get into 10 times what they are offering me, or into 20 maybe.
Yeah,
man, this sucks completely. So yeah, that's been a peeve, that's been a rant that I go on a lot of time.
I'm sure. Wow. That's very fascinating. I'm going to continue this conversation and give you some relief from that, but not from the, from the pain of other conversations. You know? like for example, comic books were a rage in the 90s, you know. It was like a collectible for us, right?
Yeah,
or even in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
You have had successful comic series launched, your names, but today, you know, today's kids, right? Slightly different than the parents are, you know, with digitization of content coming in, horrible YouTube, loud music and songs and funny videos coming in there for kids.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pain to watch it.
Yeah.
But the parents know that their kids love it. They sit in front of their screens and love that content.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, now with digitization of content on YouTube and OTT, comics kind of have lost their due for kids, or maybe even...
Correct.
How are you upgrading your work to this trend? Are you going to come up with YouTube videos for kids as well? Or how do you plan to upgrade your work?
So I'll be honest, one of the, you know, on my to-do list is one YouTube channel I want to start. And that can be about me talking about particular things for artists, maybe apps I use, maybe software, maybe review something. I don't know. I've still not been able to like detail down and decide on this for sure. But yes, I want to tab that so that I can use YouTube for some sort of extension, as some sort of extension to what I do in comics. Mm-hmm. So that can be some sort of animatics I make of my comics, some sort of animatics would be the simplest conversion to a YouTube platform from my comics platform. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. if that works out, it'll be great. But again, I do know that there's an X amount of work that will go in. Right. Would I be able to handle it on my own or not is another question.
Right.
Like the voice, there'll be dubbing. Right. So this is one extension that I want to do, keeping in mind the audience paradigm shift now.
Mm-hmm.
And also the fact that keep making these short animations, short animations that we run on social media sometimes just to see right. the kind of response.
Right.
So I have kind of understood, what kind of characters they're being a little animated, what kind of gags they like. So maybe short animations, converting my episodes from comics into short animations is something I really like to do.
Mm.
So these are plans I have.
Nice. And incorporating comic books in children's life far beyond home as well. Let's talk about today's online and offline education. While some schools have already partnered in a form of project or so, what are your thoughts on it? How is it going to help a child with partnering with comic projects or bringing on board a comic book illustrator who can create content for their children?
Correct. So this is something I've noticed over the last few years and more so during the lockdowns.
Mm-hmm.
What has happened is I've been taking a lot of workshops with schools and, I think right from 2010-11, say, I've been taking workshops,
mm-hmm.
Schools and colleges, schools especially. A lot of things I find that maybe they are not very confident in sharing their ideas to, the essay format or the right. write-up format. But the moment you convert it to a visual medium, like in panels and pictures, suddenly mm-hmm. their ideas come to life. That's what teachers in certain schools, like you said, not many, but certain schools are taking this step to encourage kids to create comics. In fact, there's a school in Ghatkopar, which I have taken a few, sessions at.
Mm-hmm.
They have an entire dedicated Amar Chitra Katha and Asterix section in their library.
Wow.
And I do believe there are a few others who have also in the same, but this I have seen firsthand, so I can say it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, go back to our school days, where did we, at least I didn't have comics in my school.
Right.
But it goes to show that you learn comics, you learn through creating comics as well. And I think it's a great expression, medium mm-hmm. of expression for kids, to ideate and to express better.
Mm-hmm.
So in the lockdown, we had a lot of workshops for school. And in fact, one very as young as senior KG standard. And I was like, what do I teach them, comics and cartoons? But I was so astonished by the kind of cartoons and stories they can come up with, with like basic shapes. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I think, yes, it's a great learning tool.
Mm-hmm.
And just like how Chitra Katha was like our history textbook, but fun.
Right.
But it was so much fun reading an ACKA rather than going through your history textbook school. The same thing goes for any, content in comic format for school kids, I feel.
Fantastic. Wow. Amazing. And Abhijit, with that, we have concluded the first round of questions.
Awesome.
I'm not going to put you in a difficult situation, but maybe a rapid fire round might be a pressure situation for you.
Ooh, I can already do it.
So quick questions coming at you in three. Ready for this?
Yes. Yes, okay. I am.
Super. Three of your favorite comic artists and why?
Oh, Sergio Aragonés, because kind of fun, he loves making crowds. You have to check out his work in Mad.
Mm-hmm.
He loves making crowds and small details. Amazing. So Sergio Aragonés has been my all-time inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
Don Ma, again from Mad, because of the humor he had in those very, very exaggerated cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
And Ram Vairkar in Tinkle Comics, growing up. A veteran Indian, that he was. Ram Vayarkar's versatile work in Kalanamar Chitragatha. So these three I can tell you offhand.
Okay. Three of your favorite all-time comic books.
Wow, difficult. It has to be Asterix and the Laurel Wreath. Because that was the first Asterix I ever read. And it's still very special to me because it's a very differently written Asterix book as well. If you follow Asterix, you'll notice that Laurel Wreath is different. Second, I would say is Watchmen. Watchmen is, I think, one of the most critically acclaimed graphic novel ever made. And it brings a lot of traditions and reimagines superheroes. So I think that's fantastic. And Dark Knight Returns, Batman.
Okay.
It changed Batman completely. So yes. I think I love. And for listeners, this is impromptu. We have not practiced this. So I'm just kind of saying things that are coming at the top of my mind, but I think I'm doing okay.
You're doing very well, actually. Okay.
Yes.
Comic character that's fascinated you or inspired you over the years?
Wow, you have some really tough ones, don't you? Comic character that has inspired me has to be... I'm already getting so many in my mind. Maybe Batman. Since I brought up Dark Knight.
Right.
Because I've always... A friend of mine keeps saying that if you're in a tough situation... Try this, huh, guys. If you're in a tough situation and you don't know your way out, you just say, what would Batman do? He always have a way out. He will always find a way out. He's a smart guy. He's the world's best detective. He is never bogged down. So I think inspiration-wise, yes, this guy can get out of situations. He is he's a very normal human being, but a superhero at the same time. He doesn't have powers. So I think that is inspiring. You don't need to be a super someone to make a difference. You can be a normal human being and yet make a huge difference in people's lives. So I think Batman is pretty inspiring, but he's scary as well. So, but I'll go with the operational part.
Okay, super. A recommended school or course to become a comic artist, according to you?
Recommended school or course? Well, since I teach at Whistling Woods, since I teach comics, a couple of papers there, I would say yes, that place has some really good things going for comic art. And for people who want to go abroad, I believe there are a few options there. I'm not really sure, but there's the Jack Kirby School of Art, if I'm not mistaken. But I'm not really too sure about that. So I'll just speak from experience that I am part of. So yes, that's one thing I can say.
Okay. And you did mention about the fanboys too, but what projects are you working on and what's next to look out for you?
I think more about merchandise, where we want to expand our merchandise line and have our IPs generating more sales, because since we have IPs with us, we want to use them more to reach out to people. So Maushi Rhyme Fighter, there is an Angry Maushi figurine that is going to be out soon. So maybe we want to see people react to that. Maybe convert my storylines into animation and get that going. Of course, my usual Tinkle Comics, that has been the mainstays. Watch out for more stories. I'm working on quite a lot for them now. So Defective Detectives, Super Weirdos, these comic strips that I draw for Tinkle. We have a lot of fun stuff coming up. So yeah, that's in the pipeline.
That's a lot in the pipeline. That's a good pipeline that you have.
That's a good pipeline. Complain. Cool.
And finally, before we summon up this conversation, your quick 5 tips for aspiring comic artists, be it on the tools, the platforms, the opportunities, their contracts, or how to market themselves. What are those 5 tips that you would recommend?
Yeah, since you brought up contracts right now, I think that's a great point to even add. Let me just start off with that. Please read the stuff before you sign it. Artists out there, anyone out there, I might add, not just artists, anyone. If there's a contract being sent by someone, please read it. Please get it double by someone you know who can handle it, and then sign it, because you never need payment terms somewhere, you know, might just be manipulated and said, oh, you've signed that paper. Now you can ask for this.
Yeah.
So a lot of time, payment terms are always the gray area. You need to be very sure what payment terms spoken about. So I think that's a very important point, and thankful can address it right now, because I think people are more aware that contracts are not as black and white as they used to be. So at least they are a little wary. Second, I think patience. Every artist, everyone, I think in life should inculcate patience. Patience is literally a very, very important word. And wait for the good stuff to happen. It'll happen, but of course, hard work always, is important. Which brings me to hard work. If you're an artist, if you're an illustrator, please keep practicing. I do know a lot of people who say, oh, you know what? What's there to practice? I'm doing this for a long time. But I think something, doodling something every day, just having a sketchbook just helps. Mm-hmm. Then brings me to the point of evolution. So it's always a style which evolves.
Right.
So you always need to watch what is changing in your art. I, for one, have seen my art change over the last 15, 20 years from what it was to now.
Mm-hmm.
And I can clearly make out, okay, this is the area I was a little weak, which I'm better now. What are the areas I need to be better at in the future? I can keep evolving, on that point.
Mm-hmm.
So this is very important for everyone. Everyone's art style changes. You look at any DC artist, anyone, you will notice that their older works look different and newer works look different.
Right.
And lastly, I think networking part that I mentioned earlier, the marketing and networking oneself, one needs to be a little out there. Gone are the days when artists were supposed to be like, oh, but I work in my cave. I work on my own. I don't talk to anyone. I'm an introvert. It doesn't help as much.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not comfortable talking to people, be better in emailing. You know, have some soft skills where you can reach out to potential clients or leads better. Mm-hmm. So I think these things are very important for upcoming artists or people who are already in it can always sharpen up a few of their soft skills or, you know, whichever is the... I think these would be my five.
Right. And finally, I would add one to that. Please increase your followers.
There we go. Yes, you have, because apparently that's where the buck stops. So yes, please find a way to do it.
this is a wonderful conversation, and you've been
enjoyed.
You've been lit, man. You've been lit. And I thoroughly enjoyed hosting this show because I think
thank you so much.
In all the three seasons that I've hosted, I don't think I've laughed as much.
Good. As I have. I am happy. And
that laugh is not for a good reason, but it's the situation that we are in today, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's funny, true. Right? That's true. That's true. At least we are. Choose to laugh at it because people sometimes are confused by hasu ya rahu. We choose to laugh, which is a good thing. But you had some amazing questions as well, which made me kind of, go back and think about decisions I've made or things I've come across. Thanks for that as well.
Super. I had a great time hosting you and I appreciate you doing this.
Thank you so much
for making time for the Deliberate Talks. And before we go, I want the listeners to know where they can connect with you or buy your NFT as well. Or even follow you on social media platforms.
Yes. So you can reach out at Kini Studios on Instagram or Twitter. I am also on Twitter as ABHIKINI, Abikini. And NFT, yes, I have my NFTs dropped on WazirX. So you can look me at Abhijit Kini on the WazirX platform.
Okay.
And that's the one with my full name. KiniStudios.com is where we have all our merchandise listed and you can have a look at everything there. Super. That's where they can reach out.
Great. Thank you so much, Abhijit. Wonderful. And best wishes always, buddy.
Thank you so much, Dakshin.
So there you have it from the artist himself. And before we leave, here is the fun fact for the day. Did you know the first book marketed under the term comic book was published in UK in 1897. And that's it for today. Hit the follow button on your favorite audio platforms or get in touch with me, Dakshin Adyantai, on the social media channels. Join in next Monday for a new episode. Until then, inspire and be inspired.